So what to expect from this year? I'm sure some of us are excited. Some of us are a bit anxious. The fear of the unknown is always a bit, you know, you don't know what's going to come, what's going to happen, how things are going to pan out. And that sometimes makes us a little bit anxious, you know. Say, Lord, what's going to happen this year? And, you know, and so we have all of those questions, I'm sure. And I want to give us something this evening to help us with this year. I'm really trusting that God's going to give us surety for this year. And some of us are really worried about that first opening World Cup match against Mexico. Will Bafana do it? Only a miracle. Only a miracle, but we'll pray. So we had some family time as well, and we went to Cape Town for a pastor summit, which was just absolutely amazing for a few days, a week or so, and then stayed with some family. And so my highlight of the holiday was my grandmom is actually a bit sick, and I've been trying and praying for her for many years. I'm the only person in my whole family, extended family, that's serving God. And so I had two highlights. The one highlight was I preached at Stellenbosch at the church there, and my whole family was there. My dad was there for the first time ever, so that was awesome. And my feedback was good. So I'm really excited about what God is doing my family. God is really bringing them closer. So that for me is awesome. I don't know how your family time was. And then my grandmom, now that was the ultimate highlight. She is 80-something. And her husband was a professor in surgery, and very intellectual family, very much, you know, I don't really believe in God. And so a few years ago, I shared the gospel with my grandmom, and I asked if she wanted to pray with me, and she just said no. No. Okay. So I was terrified because she was really sick now. She broke a leg or something, and she wasn't in a good state, and and so I said, I just must share with her. And so I shared with her just some realities about heaven, you know, and about eternity. And then I asked if she would pray with me, and she said yes. So that was, so I led her in a prayer of just committing her life to the Lord. I was just crying. I couldn't help myself. But it was just, that was my highlight. That was it. Other highlight was spending some time with Sonica's family, and they had this small swimming pool at which they heated up, this sort of baby swimming pool. And so I was sitting with the two brothers and father-in-law, and then in the end I shared with them for about 2 hours about the kingdom of God and the gospel, and challenged them, and that was my other highlight. So you see, I've been having a holiday. It's wonderful. So praise God. It's good to serve Him, and it's good to have an effect on our families. That's what God wants. He wants us to shine our light there. And so I received a promise in my heart for 2010 for us as a church, and I trust for all of us here. End of last year, I felt God saying that this will be a year of grace. A year of grace. And then last night, I received an SMS from Pastor Fred May, the senior pastor in Stellenbosch, over the show for churches, and he said he feels God is saying this is a year of mega grace. So that was my confirmation, praise God. So I believe it's a year of grace. And I want to share a little bit about that. What is grace, and how do we access grace? And you really want this. This is really awesome. Okay, so what is grace? Grace is God's undeserved goodness and favor shining upon us. It's all the goodness of God, all the grace of God, all the goodness of God, all the love of God. It's like His countenance shining upon us. That sort of grace. It's just like undeserved favor. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us because He loves us. But there's something we need to position ourselves so that we can receive the grace of God. And, you know, grace is what makes Christianity work. This thing called Christianity is a very hard, laborious process if the grace of God isn't there. It's really tough going. It's hard. And so we need grace. And there's the scripture, Acts 4, 32 to 33. It speaks about the great grace. The church in Acts, this is how the church started. It said, and there was great grace. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, unity. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Can you say all? Not just the pastor and his favorite friends. Everybody. It says all. It says everybody. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace. There's mega grace. Like super in abundance, overflowing grace. And it was like they turned the world upside down because there was this grace, this supernatural element. It is something supernatural. It's like the presence of God. It's, as I said, the goodness of God. But it just transforms everyone. And so there's two things I want to share this evening. One is grace flourishes in the right context. The right context. You need the right context if you want grace. Grace flourishes when you have a deep dependency upon God. A deep dependency upon God. Then your heart is fertile soil. It's like, God, I need you. When that is there, when you know I need you, then grace is released. So the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, he says, Jesus spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Say weakness. Weakness. Now, we don't like to be weak, but weakness is the key to receiving the grace of God. Weakness is the key to receiving the grace of God. And I'll explain in a moment. It says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, it's terrible. We don't like to be weak. Who likes to be weak? Anybody? No, we don't like it. But in a certain sense, it is a key for receiving the grace of God. You see, God only starts, the grace of God only starts when you come to the end of yourself. When you say, I can't do this. I don't know how to. God, I need you. Then grace kicks in. But as long as you say, I can do this. As long as you say, I know how to do this. I'm sorted. Then God says, okay, fine. Because you're actually blind. You're not seeing what you're supposed to be seeing. When we know how much we need God, then we become strong. And that's sort of where I want to, this is what the Lord spoke to me end of last year. This is how I want to walk into this year. I want to say, God, I can't do this. If I look back at my life, the times where things worked, it was you. When it didn't work, it was me. And so I want to do this your way. You know, I told my family this as well, but the first 6 months of last year, I should have had a nervous breakdown. Naturally speaking, I should have had a nervous breakdown of all the stuff happening. But it was the best 6 months of my life because of the grace of God. Grace doesn't mean they're not challenges. Grace means there are challenges, but you're handling it because God is helping you. So whatever challenge you face this year, know that the grace of God is sufficient if you allow the grace to flow. If you allow the grace to flow, if you say, God, I need you. You see, unfortunately, those with whom it is going too well are not very open to God. I don't know if you've seen that. If it's just going too well, it's like my family. They're all these wonderful, genuinely wonderful, nice people. They have sufficient money. They have sufficient everything. Everything's wonderful. Then you go to some of my friends' families. They don't have money. They don't have this. They don't have that. Man, they're on their knees and they give their lives to Jesus because they realize, God, we can't do this. We can't do this. You know, so pride is a grace killer. Pride, arrogance, saying, I can do this. That sort of kills the grace of God. So how about, I'm going to sketch you a little picture. Grace flourishes in the right context. If you were in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and you there's no water in sight, You've been walking for a day. It is hotter than East London today, but twice as hot. Then that desire for rain, that desire for water, now that's a good context. That is how God is to us. He's our provision if we realize it. Or you're a sailing ship in the middle of the ocean and there's no wind. And you can't move forward. God is like the wind. You need the wind to move forward, the power to move forward. Or you're a little baby being left on the street corner. As much as a little baby needs a mom and a dad, that's how much you and I need God to protect us. That's the truth. But we don't realize that so often. We don't click it. Or a leper. Ever thought about a leper? His flesh rots off from his body. He's the living dead. You and I, we need forgiveness for our sins, cleansing like a leper needs healing to his dying flesh. I'm trying to sketch you a picture here so you can see how much we need God. Or maybe we're like a blind man groping in the dark, unable to see. That's us. We're blind without the grace of God. Without God giving us light, we're blind. And so we need to tell ourselves, I'm blind without you, Lord. I'm a little baby on the street corner without you, Lord. I need you. I need you. So how's your context this evening? How's your context? How's your context? Are you looking in the right place? Or are you just miserably feeling I'm useless and there's no hope? The weakness is good, but then you need to look in the right place. Then you need to look to the right one who is able to give you the sight, the cleansing, the provision, the protection, the power to move forward. God is that. We just need to see it. So that's the first point. Grace flourishes in the right context. And now the second one I actually want to talk about is grace is released through a promise. A promise. And that's what we need for this year. I believe one of the promises, this will be a year of grace. But if you come to a place of weakness, then your heart is ready. It's fertile. The pride is away. The humility is there. Now it's fertile soil in your heart. And now the seed of God's promise can be planted in your heart. Do you have a promise for this year? Do you have something that God has given you, a scripture, a word, direction from above? Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Let me explain. A promise. Why do you need a promise? A few things. A promise is the door to grace. So if grace is the provision of God, then you need to come to the promise, the doorway, before you can receive the grace. You need a promise. It is the door to grace. A promise is the access point where grace will flow to your lives. Go look in the scriptures. God does never, ever anything unless he first gave a promise to a man and said, I will do this. And so they trusted him for that promise and the grace came. The promise tells you where you must position yourself. And the promise tells you what you must prepare yourself for. Otherwise, you're a blind man or a blind woman. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming. Seek the promise and you will find grace. Seek the promise and you will find grace. Because that's the door. That's where you need to come to the door, so you can receive. So you can become pregnant with the promises of God. You know, it's like with Abram. God told him many, many, many years before the hand that he's going to have a son. Do you remember that story of Abram? As like 25 years before the son came, God told him, you're going to have a son. Do you know why God told him that long time before? Because it's really hectic to have a child. It's really hectic. So he was saying, get some nappies, prepare yourselves, get 300 servants, which he did, and then you're ready. Okay? So that's, God is just so he prepares you. You know, baby, you know, get your sleep in now. There's not going to be so much sleep later. Okay? So the promise prepares. And so through the promise, God extended grace to Abram. Now look at the scripture. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. This is an amazing promise. Now Abram at this stage, he had no relationship with God. He was in another country. He was nowhere. And now the Lord, out of the blue, out of nowhere, God spoke to him. And now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I think that's beautiful. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is a beautiful promise. You can make this your own. You can make this, you can say God. But there's so many things in this. But a promise gives us a new context. Abram was nowhere. He probably didn't expect to bless the families of the whole earth. He was sort of just going along with these things. And then suddenly God came to him and said, I'm going to bless you. A new context. Suddenly Abraham had to think, wow, I've got this calling upon my life. God is wanting to do great things in me and through me. And that's sort of how I experienced it. I mean, when I've shared this before, but when I was growing up, I was just wanting to be happy. I don't know anybody else here, but you know, just want to be happy, you'd mind your own business, be happily married, and then God. And then God gives you a new context. He gives you promises. He says, I'm going to do amazing stuff. I'm going to change many lives, a multitude of lives through you. And so God gave me a massive shift in my life. And I know the same with so many of us. When the promise of God comes, it gives you a completely new context. Just wait till that promise speaks to you. So it gives you a new context and a new expectation. And so you need it. You need it for 2010. You need it for this year. You need a promise. You need a promise for your life, for your destiny, for your purpose. You don't need to know everything, but you need to have something. Something to build your life on. Hebrews 6, verse 19. It says in the Amplified, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. So it speaks about a promise. God is saying through the scriptures, a promise anchors our souls. Do you have a promise? Or will the storms of this year just blow you over? The moment something goes wrong, something goes bad, you're oh, it's terrible. If you have an anchor, you say, no, it's going to sort out because God has spoken to me. God has spoken to me. So the promise anchors our soul. It brings hope. The biblical hope is not like we know about hope. It is a strong expectation. It's a knowing. It shall be. It shall be. And so the promise of God keeps us from sinking down into depression. It keeps us from giving up. It keeps us from just drifting off by the winds and the circumstances of life. And then the promise of God leads us into His presence. I don't want to go into much of that. I'm going to, in the future, come back to that. But so a promise is the door to grace. No promise, no grace. There's this song, Bob Marley says, no woman, no cry. It's off, it's wrong, it's unbiblical, it's not true. But I want to make a point. No promise, no grace. Okay? No promise, no grace. You need a promise if you want grace, okay? If you don't have a promise, you don't gonna get grace, okay? So that's the first one, the door. Say door, so you can say door. door. Okay, grace is the door, or the promise is the door to grace. The second one. Okay, now you've come to the door. It's sort of a process here. The second one, you have your promise. Now you come to the door. The door is closed. Nothing happening there. Now you need to keep standing. You need to keep standing. Nothing in this life comes easy. And every promise will be tested. Every promise will be tested. Your faith will be tested. And so you need to hold on to the promise with all your might. And there's a scripture, Revelation 4 verse 1. It speaks of an open door. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And then things happen. So you want an open door. If I think of so many promises I've received 10 years ago, 13 years ago, I'm actually only seeing some of them being fulfilled now, or parts of it being fulfilled now. So you receive a promise and then you start walking the road, and then there's time you're thinking, that couldn't have been of God. This isn't working. Look at me. I'm falling apart. This can't be God. Can't be God. Or you just give up and let it go. No. Come back to the promise. Come and stand before the door. Say, hello. Open up. I have a promise. You're going to open up. Open. Open now. Open, open, open. Open. You need to go and stand there. You need to go and stand there and trust God until the door opens up. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. It says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong in what? Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Not in your own strength, and in the power of His might. We are weak in ourselves, but we can be strong in Him. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of Andre. No. Put on the whole armor of God. He is our protection. That you may be able to stand. To stand. Say to stand. To stand. Against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You must stand and keep standing. Where? At the promise. With the promise, with the promise, with the promise. That's what I do over and over and over again. I'm thinking, Lord, look at this, 5 crises right now, but your promise is we're going to make it. We're going to come through. And it gives me faith again, gives me courage again, and then we go. So position yourself and stand. Know that the enemy's plan, his primary plan, is to get you distracted, to get you away from the promises of God, get you away from the door to your grace, to get you on your own, and then you are in trouble. So keep on knocking. There's a scripture that says, it speaks about prayer, and it says, knock and the door will be opened. Knock and the door will be opened. So here you're standing at the door, you're knocking. Hello, hello, I'm coming through here. And then don't stop short. This is a word I received a while ago from middle of last year sometime. I felt the Lord telling me, my people, God's people, don't trust me till breakthrough. They stop short. In other words, we receive the promise. We get so excited. The first challenge, we run away. Because we don't press through until breakthrough. Press through. Don't stop short. Continue. You need endurance. And then this very important point. Don't kick the door down. God will open it. And that's what we all also sometimes do. You have your promise, and so now you want to force the issue. I will give you a wife. That's your promise. And then you want it now. Wrong woman, wrong time, wrong place. It gets you into trouble. He promised, therefore, He will perform it. Now, this is very important. This is where we get it wrong so often. We move into the flesh. We move into our own issue, into our own strength. For instance, ladies, maybe your husband frustrates you. And so you have a promise from God that this will change. He will change. God says, I will change him. I will make him romantic. That's going to take a miracle. kidding. But it's hard sometimes. Okay. And so you have your promise, and now you want to help God. So you start niggling your husband, and you start trying to change him in your own strength. And so you're actually in the way. God is saying, out of the way. I'm trying to work here. I gave you my promise. You are now in my way. I can do nothing. You're cutting off my hands. Fine. Sort out your own husband then. I'm moving on. And so you have great action and fights and chaos in your house because you're in the way. Don't kick the door down. Allow God to open it at the right time. Trust. Trust in him. Sonika can tell you many stories of times in my life where I did really weird stuff. I mean, I was really extreme in many things. I was like up and down and up and down and up and down. And she was thinking, Sonika's like this most of the time. And so she received a promise from the Lord that said, give him time. It will change. I will make him stable. It took about 5 years, but we got there. The promise of God. So she wasn't trying to change me. She was just standing before the door and knocking, saying, God, you gave me a promise. You're going to make him stable. You're going to make him consistent. You're going to make him focused in the way that you've told me, and the Lord has. Okay, so that's a tip to help you guys there. God doesn't give you and me a promise so that we can do it. He doesn't say to you, I will do this, and then he actually means you shall do it. Now this might sound silly to you, but we really so often try and do things in our own strength. And I'm guilty of that. And I know I need to step back and say, God, now you do it. Anybody seen the movie Braveheart? Okay, yes, all the men say yes, hallelujah. Okay. Now, there's this one scene that the English army is attacking the Scottish, and they have the scheme, they have these poles on the ground with these sharp points, and they hidden them under some blankets and things. And then this huge number of cavalry, these guys on horses, are storming down on them. I mean, they're going to crush them. And then Mel Gibson, and they're all just saying to them, hold, hold. Hold, come on guys, if somebody messes this up, we're in big trouble. So he's saying, hold, and then he said, now, and then they grab out the spears and they put it down, and all the horses ran into these spears, and they beat the army. And that's sort of the picture that I have. Don't kick the door down. When I say that, it sounds like, who let the dogs out? I don't know. Okay, but allow the Lord to let the dogs out. Then you let the dogs out. Are you in trouble? Okay. Because we get into big trouble when we try to force the issue. It's like with Abram. They couldn't wait for Isaac. So he had his maid, and Ishmael was born. And there was just big chaos. Just lots of hurt, lots of pain, many people getting hurt. So don't move into the flesh. Impatience will get you into trouble. So a promise plus the right timing is absolutely critical. And then living life, you know, living this Christian thing in your own strength, you know, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to serve God without the grace of God. It is a nightmare to serve God without the joy of God. I'd rather be a sinner out there messing up and at least having some fun than being in here, my face is terrible. Sour-faced people keep people away, Christians keep people away, keep unbelievers away from God. That's why I say we must have fun. And if we're not having fun, something is wrong. If we're not enjoying ourselves, if we're not happy, something is wrong. We in our own strength. Okay, so then another point there, just under keep standing. To believe the promise is to see the promise as a done deal. Now, this is a very, very, very important point. To believe the promise is to see the promise as a done deal. Can you say done deal? What does that mean? You're standing before the door. You have the promise. You're not seeing anything. But in your heart, you know it's a done deal. It's going to be. 2010, this year, is a done deal. Every challenge, every obstacle that you and I are going to go through, God has already provided all the grace for it. He's already provided for it. Every bit you need, it is available. If you just position yourself in the place of grace, you're going to work this year with no problems. And that should manifest in our praise. Try this. I tried this over this weekend. I put up some music and I praised God as if 2010 is in the bag. Yes, where I get gesung. And so should we. God has already provided everything. We must just position ourselves. It is a year of grace. Get a promise. Stand there and keep standing, saying, God, I praise you. This is done. It is finished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Everything you need, it is done. We can now enter God's rest and just say, thank you, Lord. We're going to enjoy this. Hebrews 11, verse 11 says there, it speaks about Sarah, Abram's wife, receiving the child. And then it says why she received the child. Because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. Amplified translations, beautiful. To be reliable. God is reliable, people. He is reliable. You can trust him. Reliable, trustworthy, and true to his word. Next week, I'm going to share with you about I'm going to take this one step further. But it's just beautiful of how God has committed himself to you and to me to make his promises, to fulfill his promises. Unbelievable. It will so encourage you. We can trust the one who has promised. So if you don't have any promises, you have one now. This will be a year of grace. And it's quite biblical. Every day is a day of grace. Take the promise, make it your own. And then this next one. The promise will come if you don't doubt, if you don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's something the Lord dropped into my heart. God said, I'm going to do it. That means you don't need to do it. That means the only thing that you can do wrong is to get in the way. The only thing that you can do wrong is to stop believing. The only thing that you can do wrong is to start doubting. That's all that you can do wrong. But if you would trust and you would position yourself where God tells you, when the door opens, you just walk through. Not hard work, you just follow. Don't try and do it in your own strength. The promise will come if you don't doubt. There's the song, what's this guy's name? Can't remember now the name of the song. Basically, they sing and they say, God, they have talk in this one bit in the song. They say, God will save the whole world. Just get out of the way. And that's so profound. Because it doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It just means don't do anything in your own strength. Don't do anything in the flesh. Don't get in the way. Just trust and follow. Our unbelief blocks the promises of God. If you would believe it and keep standing, it will come to pass. Okay, just to end off with. And then the last one. So the first one is the grace. The door to grace is a promise. Okay, so you need a promise. Second one is you have your promise. Come to the door and keep standing there. Don't give up. Hold the promise before God every day. Pray through it every day. Just speak it back to the Lord every day. And then the fulfillment of the promise. In Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 2, it says in the Amplified, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Now, hope here means strong expectation. You actually know this is going to be. It's not the hope that we speak of. Hope for being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. You don't see it, but you know it is. I've not been on the 4th of January yet, but I know my God is there. Tomorrow, when I get up, my God will be there, and He already provided everything for my day. I know it. I have proof in my heart about the faithfulness of God because of His promises. Proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old, the divine testimony born to them, obtained a good report. Okay, let me explain this to you. It's a bit, it's lots. Say you're walking down the road and you meet a landowner. And the landowner says to you, I like you. Don't know why, but I just sort of like you. You see that house, that mansion there? It's yours. I promise you that I'm going to give you that mansion at a certain point in the future. It's yours. And you say, hallelujah, praise Jesus. And so you run to your house and you knock on the door. And a butler opens and says, can I help you, sir? He says, yes, get out of my house. And he says, no, sir, this house belongs to the people staying here. And you say, no, but I have the promise from the owner that this is my house. Get out. Well, they get out. Uh-uh. No, they're not going to get out. You have no proof. You have no legal documents saying this is yours. You don't have a title deed. But you have a promise. You have a strong expectation. You know the one who promised this to me, I can trust him. He is faithful. I can trust him. He said his house is giving to me. Okay, so I get my tent and I camp on the grass in front of this house. And I am expecting it. So I am knocking and trusting for the time that my title deed is going to come. Now that time period would be a time of prayer. That time period would be a time of just reminding God of His promises on a daily basis and keeping on trusting. I'm not moving, I'm here. This is my place. And then one day, faith comes. You've had hope. You've had a strong expectation. Now a miracle happens. In your heart, you receive the title deed. Something in the spirit moves. Something miraculous happens where you receive the moment where the door opens and God says, now my promise shall be fulfilled to you. Go take possession. Go take it. Go claim it. And so you take your title deed and you dance up the paved way there to the door. And you knock again. And you say, can I help you, sir? And you take a title deed and you rub it in his face. And then you step aside so the police can come and remove all the people squatting in your house. And you move in and you receive the fulfillment of the promises of God. And that's how it works. Let me read that scripture to you again. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. So you've been hoping, but now you have faith. Now you step out. Now you move. This one guy, Yonggi Cho, he is the pastor in Seoul, South Korea, the largest church in the world, 750,000 plus people in their cell groups, small groups. And he shares in one of his books, he says, they were building a building and the money was no more. And it was in the middle 1970s and he needed $5 million. Middle 70s, that's lots of money. And so he says he knew God was in this. He knew this was the will of God. He knew this is of God. But God, where's the money? And so he was on his knees, he says, for a few months, praying and praying and praying until he says one day, he says it just dropped into his heart. He said he received his title deed. He got up. He stormed into the kitchen. He told his wife, I have it. I have it. She said, what? What? $5 million. I have it. She says, where? No, I don't know where, but it's coming. And it came. And God came through for him. You see, but so often we get the promise and now we assume it's going to happen now. And we give up. We were standing before the door for 5 minutes. Eh? Nobody's home. So you're walking along. And then you're missing the fulfillment of the promise. So the fulfillment of the promise comes over time as you consistently keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on walking. And I just feel in my heart for somebody's marriage here or a few marriages here, I don't know. But I just feel in my heart God is saying, keep on trusting in Him. Keep on trusting in Him. God will come through for you. Just felt that. Just keep on trusting in Him. So, to conclude, get a promise. No promise, no grace. Okay? Then position yourself at the promise. Keep standing at the door, not giving up. And keep on until true faith comes, the fulfillment comes, and you take possession of what God has promised to you. So if the Lord says this will be a year of grace, it doesn't mean that we do nothing. It means that we say, God, You said this is going to be a year of grace. We remind You. And we say, Lord, send us the grace. Send us the grace. Send us the grace. So we can take possession. Hallelujah. I really believe this is going to be a special year. This is really going to be a special year. I'm so excited about this church. I'm so excited about what God has done last year. I'm so excited about the relationships God has established. I'm so excited about the unity, the sincerity of the people in this church, the humility, the heart after God. I really believe God is going to do something amazing this year. So I want to encourage us. Let's go into this year expecting God to move amongst us. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we bless Your name. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are with us. We thank You, Lord God, that You've spoken about this year. You've said, Lord, to my heart and to others as well, this will be a year of grace. That means supernatural assistance from above for whatever challenge lies ahead. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us here, that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, that when we read the Scriptures, God, that the Scriptures will jump out and we'll receive a promise right there from the Word of God. Lord, that You will confirm things to our hearts to say, this is what I will do this year. This is how I will come through for you. This is how I will change you, and this is what I will do through you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for us, Lord God. We pray for grace to flow here this evening, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that the burdens will fall from our shoulders, Lord God. We pray that anxieties and fears will run out the door and not return, because our God is faithful. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We worship you and honor you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. I want us to sing that song that they're playing now, but I want us to sing it as if this year is in the bag. Sing it as if God is almighty and has already come through for you. How's that for profound? Very biblical. Let's stand. God, we thank you. Lord, we pray for each and every one of us and all of those who can't be here this evening, Lord God, who're still on their way, holiday or somewhere. Father, we pray your blessing. Lord, we pray even as you spoke over Abram, you said, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Whoever blesses you, I will bless you, them. And whoever curses you, I will curse them. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you. Lord, we receive that blessing and we proclaim that over our lives, Lord God. And so, Lord, we bring this week and the weeks coming before you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring promises to our hearts. We release the spirit of prophecy in this church by faith. And we thank you, Lord, for vision. We thank you, Lord God, for dreams. We thank you, Lord God, for words. We thank you, Lord God, for the scriptures to come alive, to give us hope, to anchor our souls, to give us direction, to give us sight. And Lord God, just to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We proclaim it over this church. We proclaim it over every life here this evening. This is a year of grace. This is a year of grace. This is a year of grace. Undeserved blessing, favor, goodness from above. Thank you, Lord. God, we worship you for this. And we say, let your will be done in our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just felt this in my heart. If you feel comfortable, if you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to do this. But I just felt that we can maybe turn to one another two by two and maybe just pray. Just pray a blessing over the other person. Just pray a blessing if guys, preferably ladies with ladies, guys with guys, unless you are in a relationship, that's fine. Or you feel comfortable, that's fine. If you don't want to do it, you're fine. You can just take a moment. So let's turn to one another. Just pray for one another. Just pray a blessing. Just pray for the year. Just pray for the goodness of God to come. Just take a few minutes.